Good evening, everybody. This is the Fakeologist speaking. Thursday, September 23rd, 2021, 8:30 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Coming to you from the North Shore of Lake Ontarible, Canada, in Toronto, Ontarible. I come to you Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Friday, is sometimes the Friday Fakeologist Audio Chat, FRAC, Friday Audio Chat. Okay. So that's something to look forward to. Saturday morning, we talk to the Australians. They are on at 4 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I know that's a little early for some people, but that's 6 p.m. Sydney time in Australia, and Australia is obviously a hot topic. Now, my phone system is still down. My service is still under attack, which sucks. And what is going on here? So I had to set up Skype. So I have a new Skype number, and I don't know what it is. So if I don't know something, I go to the blog, fakeologist.com. /contact. So let's go there. Now I have an American number. Can you believe after all these years, Skype, owned by Microsoft, doesn't have incoming numbers for Canada? It's insane. I know. Skype is another one of those programs that's been bought by the big boys and they do nothing with it. They just, all they do is milk it for money. Innovation stops. They raise the prices. It doesn't get any better. It probably gets worse. So I left Skype a long time ago, and of course I'm with a small company now. That's a VoIP, voice over IP. And it seems like somebody, and it's probably somebody significant, is attacking these small VoIP companies. And it seems like it's not to extort, it's to destroy. And as Rockefeller said, the only decent business is a monopoly, which means you kill off the competition one way or the other. You either buy them out or you murder them on the open market by dropping your prices to a point where they can't survive. Or in the computer world, you just DDoS them. And if they're not big enough to be able to withstand a DDoS, for instance, if they don't have significant backup and redundancy, then you could just kill them off. And that's what's going to happen to this company because it's been a month, apparently. Apparently, it's been going on since August. And we're already near the end of September. And a lot of this company has a reseller program, which means that if you want to run and resell company phone systems. And of course, their competitive advantage is money, is price. So if you want to do that, and now you can't, now all your businesses that you sell to, their phone system, it's been hobbled or crippled or killed for the last few weeks. So those businesses are going to go out of business themselves. Unless maybe they're running off their cell phones. Who knows? But if they have any significant amount of their phone enterprise with this VoIP service, they're going to be killed. And that's what's happening. And if you look here, we can look on their Twitter to see what's going on. I know this is not that interesting, but it's VoIP.ms. That's the carrier. And I'll just see if this comes up. If you look here, you can see that the last minute they're trying to direct message their clients. It's ridiculous. They figured out how to get call forwarding going, which gets your phone number at least off onto something else. It's surprising how many people here were running medium-sized businesses off VoIP MS. Probably some neckbeard consultant or IT guy thought VoIP was cheap and cheerful. Wow. a medical office. Yeah, lots of business. Yeah, it's crazy. Now, of course, my phone system is not important, although I do like getting calls, but it's a super minor system that I've got. Now, let me just quickly tell you my new phone number. Phone number is 810-275-0712, 810-275-0712. You can call me now. Now, I'm going to call somebody out. I wanted to call the wonderful lady in Florida. And, of course, I've deleted her number. So now I got to look it up. I'm going to try and call her. I did talk to her earlier today for 5 minutes, and then the phone hung up because of this incessant problem. So let me call her up, and I'll do that now. Okay. I don't think those tones mean anything to you. What's her name? I forgot her name already. Eva, thank you. Let's call her up. See if she'll pick up the phone. Oh, I think so.
I am.
Eva, how are you?
You finally got through here, huh? It's crazy what the phone thing is doing. But anyway, how am I? I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Were you listening to the show just now? Did you know I was going to call you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, good.
My husband is sitting here, too. I've got him hooked.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I tried to call you guys earlier, of course.
I know.
I got 5 minutes out of it, and then the phone dumped.
I know.
Yeah, so I had to pay for Skype now, which is, it's not too much money, but it's annoying. I don't like using Microsoft products. If there's any...
I didn't know anyone used Skype anymore.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not the same as it used to be.
Oh, no, I know. But, I use WhatsApp and, just different things. But
the only problem is to connect to people with phone numbers like you. Now, I'm sure you use other things, but I don't have any of those connections. So I had to use anything that can dial to the POTS, which is the plain old telephone system.
That's all right.
People still use the phone. Everyone has a cell phone, but do you have a smartphone?
Yes, I actually have an iPhone, but believe it or not, we also have a landline in the house.
Is that what I'm calling now?
No, you're calling my iPhone.
Oh, do you want to hang up and call me from your landline and we can see the quality difference? Do you want to do that? Can you call?
Not really, because I hate their phone.
Okay. But you actually have a landline. Wow. A landline still is usually better, although I think a lot of the landlines, I think once it leaves your house and goes to the phone system, then it gets rooted through the internet.
Yes, it does. It does go through the internet. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So you've been listening to the show for a while.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening. I know you're going to ask me how I came across you. And to tell you the truth, I have no idea. It's the same thing that happens. You know, it's the World Wide Web, right? You just get caught in this web and you just come up with different things. And somehow I just, came across you. And it's been several years, for sure.
Wow. I'm impressed. And you've stuck to it. I'm compelling enough to come back occasionally, which... For any website, really, if you can get someone's attention and get them back, it's a miracle. Now, most people go back to Facebook because their friends are there. But
right.
I'm lucky I have no Facebook friends, so I don't ever have to go there except if someone insists that they're going to stream on Facebook, which I don't like.
Right.
But to go back to any website is very difficult. It's hard to compel people. And so that's a real tribute that you come back to the fakeologist. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was a fakeologist before there was such a term or even the concept of fake news.
Do tell.
It was a long time ago when I started realizing, wait a second, something is not right here. And I mean a long time ago.
Yeah. Can I guess your age bracket?
Can you guess it or do you want to know it?
Yeah, I want to. I want to know. Guessing is just a polite way of saying how old are you?
Well, I'm 72 years old.
Wow. I didn't think you don't look a day over 63.
Well, you know,
isn't that amazing? I get all the seniors attracted to this call.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just joking. Wow, 72. Okay. That's fantastic.
But listen, I mean, I can remember where I was when I heard that President Kennedy was shot.
Okay, let me do some quick math here. 72. That means you were born in 49. No, what was I going to say? 49? Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
49. And so that would have made you 12, 13?
Yeah. I was in seventh grade when we had heard, you know, that the president was shot. And it was only, and I think they let school out early because of that. Everybody was in a state of shock. And it was only when I got home, I guess, I don't know if it was for lunch or just, you know, got home early, I turned on the TV. And the moment that I knew it was true was when Walter Cronkite was on TV and he said the president is dead, and his voice was all crackly and he was tearing up, and that was it. Then you knew it was true because Walter Cronkite said it.
Yes. And who else was there on the television in those days? There was Walter and maybe one or two other favorite news anchormen at the time, maybe?
Well, I don't remember, but Cronkite was the man.
Yeah.
He was definitely the man at that time. So, and for many years after, as you know.
Yes. And don't forget, well, maybe people that are younger than 72 don't know this, but the motorcade through Dallas was not on the television in 1962. It was not videoed live at all. Or it wasn't broadcast. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but I do remember, again, it was probably the first time I just noticed that something was not right, and that is when Jack Ruby shot Oswald. It was so staged and so phony that even at that time as a 12-year-old.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was
You must
ridiculous.
Have been the smartest 12-year-old in your, wherever you were from. Where are you originally from?
Well, you know, I think it was because basically my mother, I was born in Czechoslovakia.
Oh. You were whereabouts?
Whereabouts?
Yeah.
Well, nowhere you've ever heard of. It wasn't Prague.
It wasn't
small
near
town.
Well, I mean, Czech is a small place, but my grandfather's born in Prague.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a small town called Děčín.
Oh, Děčín.
Anyway, I remember, and my parents were Holocaust survivors.
Okay.
And so
what does that mean?
They had been through quite a lot, and I remember my mother used to always say that the Americans are the most gullible people in the world. They'll believe anything.
Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't be too hard on Americans, but yeah, there's... Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't realize Prague and Dresden were so close. Interesting. I don't know my Europe too well. I've never been there, and I guess now I never will go there, but
Yeah. So anyway, that was my first eye-opening experience. I mean, I wasn't paying that much attention to it, but I do remember realizing that this is so phony. You know, I mean, it was really phony.
Yeah.
Anyway,
where are you from originally in the United States, though?
I grew up in Chicago.
Oh, right. I was trying to place your accent because nobody that lives in Florida is from Florida.
Right. Yeah, a few people are, but most there's a lot of baby boomers like myself.
Right.
Husband's from Brooklyn, and, you know, it's a lot of us moved down here, you know, to get away from up there.
Yeah, wise move. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's you're awake at 12. That's crazy that you would have been. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so everything that happened after Kennedy, you were suspicious of?
You know, I was, but I wasn't really that interested at the time because I was just going on with my life. You know, high school, and then, of course, I was in college during the 60s, during all that big thing that was going on. So it just wasn't something that drew my attention, but I definitely could see the moon landing was fake. I remember seeing that on TV that night.
Wow. Yeah, that was videoed, quote-unquote, live. So that was available as... That was portrayed as real time, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Right. So everybody was watching that, and, it was, I don't know, I just could realize, even at a young age, I was older by then, but maybe I was 18 or so. But anyway, it was weird.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone else agree with you, or were you just the crazy one?
It wasn't something we really talked about. I mean, nobody was interested.
Yeah.
They were just interested in who they were dating.
Of course. Well, fast forward to 9/11. Did you figure that one out right away?
No, but I did. I did notice that, I remember when it was on TV, the first time they started showing it, they were saying right from the beginning, I think they said it was an accident or something.
Yeah, small plane. Yeah.
And immediately my son said, that's not an accident. It's a terror attack.
Right.
You know, he right away. And so... You know, it was only as time went on that you began to really understand, you know, what a bunch of crap it was, what they were trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Not right, not immediately. It just, the whole thing was so weird. It was just, you know, the collapse of the buildings and everything. But it was only after time went on that you really could understand that it was just all bogus. Just,
Well, when did you start looking into things as a truther, as a fakeologist type?
I would say, let me think now. The first time I heard, I don't know if you've ever heard this, heard of this guy, Eric John Phelps.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of
him? Yes.
The Jesuit guy?
Yes.
You know, he researches the Jesuits. And I remember, again, I just came across him somehow online. And he began talking about the Jesuits. And he really did a lot of deep research. And I don't know if they're the top dogs, but they're definitely up there, you know, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made so much sense to me. The way he was, you know, going into the history and explaining all about them. And, you know, truth has a certain ring to it for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear certain people speak, it just, something hits me like this, you know, I can really get what this person is saying. And I haven't come across anybody in all these many years that I've been alive that I agree with 100%.
No, and
including
nor,
my.
Yeah. And nor should
you. But still, you know, you always have to have your guard up and, you know, have your antennas up and all that. But I think that's when I really started thinking about it more seriously. Who's in charge of all this? Who's doing all this? Because there's definitely these psyops. I didn't know that word. There's these psyops happening. So who's doing it?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was what got me to.
Who are they?
Who are they?
Yeah, that's my favorite phrase. Who are they? Everyone wants
right.
to know, who are they? Will they just step out one day from the shadows and let us all know? Or have they already told us? Will we never know? Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Well, I think that whoever they are, we don't know their names. We don't really know who they are. Yeah, I think they've... Maybe there's a few kind of top dogs like Kissinger and a few of those guys that you would know them, but there's got to be other people behind them. People or entities, you know, whatever is going on.
Well, it's clear that this is all a game, and it's a money game. We're all in the money system. We're all using the same currency or the same method of exchange for goods and services. So whoever has most of the marbles must be winning the game. So therefore, if I'm winning the game, I want to stay winning the game. So you just have to really follow the money. I think it's cliche, but it's very simple. So the people that have had the money all this time, since the money system really got moving and really became worldwide and efficient, they still have the money, and they don't lose it.
Right. But, I mean, how much money do they need? It's the power, obviously, behind, you know.
Well, now they're just playing games with people. Now it's never been about the money. It's all about the power and
right.
all those movies of people wanting to control the world. Of course, we're told Hitler wanted to control the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would say that would be the biggest thrill of all. If you get everyone in the world to do what you want, put on a face diaper, walk
mm-hmm.
around in circles,
right.
jump when
right.
you say jump, sit when you say sit.
Yeah.
The absolute thrill of this must
mm-hmm.
be fantastic. Now, like anything else that humans enjoy, it must wear off over time, and you need a new thrill, which maybe is what... is going on now. We're in a multi-stage game, of course. And that whatever's happening to the world now is only going to be temporary as they just keep playing games with everybody and make them do even more extreme and insane things. So that would probably be why.
It's so crazy. It is so, I mean, it's just crazy. Every day you wake up, you don't know what's new, what's going to happen today. I mean, literally nothing is off the table as far as things that can happen. As far as I'm concerned, it's just so, so crazy.
It is crazy. What's your take on, well, everyone wants to talk, despite what some people might say, everyone wants to talk about what's going on now. So what's your take on the COVIDian cult takeover?
What's my take on it?
Yeah.
You know, I read.
Do you think there's a virus? Are you afraid of a virus that could get into your body and hurt you?
Do I think there's a virus? I got news for you. There is a virus because I got it. I had it.
Mm-hmm. You had what?
I had something, mm-hmm. and this was in August.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My husband and I both got sick. And by the way, I haven't been sick in probably 35 years. I remember having the flu literally 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we basically live a lifestyle of somewhat, you know, healthy living.
Yeah.
We're not on any medication. We don't have any diseases. I mean, nothing, right?
Right.
And both of us got sick in August. We got tested, and they tested us that we were positive COVID. So I don't know what it was.
Right.
But we got sick. Okay,
yeah.
So we had something.
The test, no test. Because there, like I like to tell people, in my mind, there is no test for COVID, just like there's never been a test for the common cold, because we have to stop using their language. So whenever you say COVID, say common cold, which is when we generally feel under the weather, which could manifest as sniffles, sore throat, or a cough. And when you're really... the next level of common cold, we call the flu. That's when you're really feeling garbage-like and you're really under the weather. And you might have aches and pains. You might still have the sniffles, the cough. But, yeah. And we've been told over the years that the big pharma has been dying to figure out how to prevent the common cold through vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So if we change our language, because we're speaking all their terms, which makes it really hard to argue against it, because they're controlling the narrative, because nobody has ever talked about COVID in the past before. So if you're speaking a new language, you're going to take every meaning of those words as they have given those meanings to you, because you don't have a background in COVIDology. You have to accept what they tell you. But you do have experience with the common cold, because most likely you've experienced that. And I don't even want to say you caught a cold, because you can't catch a virus, just like you can't catch a cold. So we have to rearrange our words to make more sense and break the spell. If we keep...
Well, that's why I will usually say, I don't know what I was sick. Whatever I had, I got something, you know, I was sick with something.
Yeah. Did you get the flu shot? Do you get the flu shots?
No, I haven't gotten a vaccine since I was maybe 12 years old.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
By the way, no.
Okay.
No. And by the way, we have two children, both in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
We never vaccinated them either as children. You know?
Really? Not really?
Oh, no.
How did you avoid that?
No. How did we avoid it?
How did you avoid that?
Well, first of all, Well, first of all, we didn't talk about it. We were afraid that, you know, they would be taken away from us if we told people we weren't doing it.
Way back 30 years ago, there was that threat in your mind.
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't talk about it, because back then people were not doing it like that, the way they are now. So we were quiet about it. But no, we never vaccinated our children. And I could probably count, you know, definitely on one hand, the time they ever had antibiotics, even. I can remember once my son had antibiotics. But, yeah, we were always in that mode of whatever the doctor told us to do. We did the opposite, literally.
So you've never got a flu shot?
Did I ever? Well, you know, my parents gave me these shots when I was a child. So I can't be sure what I got, but once I was maybe 12 years old and they stopped giving shots, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, I never got a flu shot.
So you've never...
I did have the flu many years ago.
Okay. So you've never, so you never took a flu shot. Okay. That's interesting.
No, I don't see. I mean, why would I?
I agree.
Why would I?
I agree. You know, especially the way they even have sold flu shots over the years, they've often followed it up with the propaganda that, well, this year wasn't as effective because the flu mutated, but it's still worth it just in case it could help.
They've never really lied
about the flu shot. Really, the COVID-19 vaccination, it's really following the same script.
Exactly. They're spinning it the same way, of course.
So it's not much
different. You'll never be fully vaccinated.
No, but what I'm saying is, right out of the gate, they have never said it's going to prevent anything. All they have said is that there's a 95% success rate of reducing cold symptoms, which pretty much is the same as taking NyQuil or any of those over-the-counter cold remedies, which I believe the studies that say that when you take over-the-counter cold remedies, they never reduce the length of time that you are experiencing a cold, but they do help make you feel better, especially since the placebo effect, I do believe, is a real effect that really helps maybe expedite or make you feel better. But just the thought of it helps a whole ton. But right. You said you got you became ill in August. What month is? Are you talking about last month?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, how long have you been following the COVID hoax? Right out of the get-go.
Right. What do you mean? Since it started.
Yeah. Well, no, I think a lot of people are still oblivious to the world, but clearly you're not. So don't forget, and we all have to think about this. Even though you're a fakeologist, you, like me, probably have been facing intense psychological distress because, number one, you're seeking the information out. You're not blocking it because you're trying to decode it. So you have, like we all have been, fighting 18, 19 months of extreme stress. And stress is definitely one of those things that causes illness. Because I always say the three causes of illness are injury, malnutrition, and toxemia. And toxemia can be from extreme stress because that releases cortisol into our system. And if cortisol is always in our system and doesn't abate because of this constant threat, then that is going to put undue stress on all your organs. And you're going to definitely exhibit signs of being ill because it's debilitating. And you're also older, so all your parts are older and have just in general, so you are more susceptible just because of your age, just like anything that has been around for a certain period.
Apparently, I mean, I never even thought about getting sick. We never wore masks.
Mm-hmm.
We traveled, we flew abroad, we did everything that we were normally doing, and we are now again.
Oh, good.
Now that we're over it.
Right, okay.
So, well, you know.
Just and the other thing is, just to maybe give you an alternate explanation of why you were both sick at the same time, well, since you're married, you probably eat, hang out, do the same thing. So, and of course, there is the possibility of electromagnetic or just psychological similarities. So, there's cues
definitely.
So, I believe all of that. So, I don't think you gave anything to your husband or vice versa. So 19 months of stress is gonna start to manifest in anybody of any health.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's something to consider.
And the other thing that helps is that we don't have a TV, and we haven't for the past maybe 15 years. So we don't watch all that garbage on TV.
Yeah, so all your information you pull into your computer, so you request it. It's not being propagated onto you, which is how I get my information. I get anything I want. So if I want to pull some information from Australia, I'll pull it down. Now, I do have regular sources that send me stuff, and I tend to look at their stuff, even so that's a form of pushing. But I also tell them, don't push certain information my way because I don't want to see it, or I don't want to deal with it. Just like I don't send me stuff from known shills because it'll just aggravate me.
I do the same thing. I do the same thing. I don't even want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
it's wild out there. What can I say?
Yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Is your husband on board with your way of thinking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's great. What about your children?
Well, my children, since they grew up in our home, and this has been going on all of our lives, mm-hmm. you know, especially concerning the medical establishment.
Right.
You know, the way we do everything opposite and are very skeptical of everything. They grew up with that. And now they both live in Israel.
Oh, wow.
They're both.
Oh, well, we need some reports.
We lived there for many. Well, actually, we're going next week, so you can get a firsthand report.
You make sure you call in.
Well, I don't know if I can call in when I get home, too. But anyway,
okay.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so they're both in their third. Well, we lived there for many years. And so when we came back here to America, they stayed because that's their country. That's where they grew up. And so now I complain because they're so far away. But meanwhile, we're the ones who brought them there.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so they're in their 30s. They're both married with little babies. We have two little grandsons that we want to see. And all I would say 99% of their peer group, their friends, they all got the shot.
Right. That's what we're hearing. That's what we hear from
they
Israel.
They all got the shot. It's crazy. I mean, they ran to get it as soon as it was available.
Right.
And they haven't. Not my children and not their spouses. I don't know if they realize the extent of everything that's going on.
Well, how did they get the shot knowing growing up in your household? Did they not think twice?
Oh, no, they didn't. They did not get the shot.
Oh, they did not get the shot. Okay.
No.
Okay, sorry.
No, I'm saying their friends, their peer group.
Oh, okay. That's good to hear.
No.
So how are they surviving in Israel without getting the shot? I heard life is very difficult.
At this point, well, my son, he was sick with this thing when it first started. And so over there, if you are recovered and you supposedly have these antibodies, mm-hmm. then right now it's kind of the same as getting the shot as far as they kind of leave you alone.
Okay. Does he have to prove he has said antibodies?
Does he have? I think they have some kind of something to prove it.
Right.
I don't know exactly.
Right.
And my daughter, I don't know. She says, I mean, they don't have a problem at this point. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they're not traveling. They live kind of out of the city. Kind of a little. I wouldn't say country, but it's. You know, not right. They used to live right in Tel Aviv, and now they live out.
Right.
And my son lives in Jerusalem, so he lives right in the city.
Right.
At this point, they're okay, but it's the propaganda, it's the social pressure, it's this constant badgering, TV advertisements, signs all over telling you to get the shot.
Right. Same as here.
It's incredible, the pressure. It's incredible.
Same as here. The same in Toronto.
Yeah, well, I know it's crazy over there, too, in Canada. Oh, my goodness.
So down in Florida, whereabouts in Florida are you at?
We're in Gainesville, where the University of Florida is located.
Gainesville, okay. Mm-hmm.
And all of Florida is pretty much... You know,
you're free.
In a sense, we're kind of a free state. But if you go into the stores, for example, today I had to go into Walmart, which I almost never go into. But I had to gather up some stuff to bring to Israel. You know, the children, they order, okay, can you bring this? Can you bring that?
Right.
And everybody was wearing a mask. And the man supposedly mandated that you're supposed to wear a mask, but of course we don't. and nobody says anything to us, and yet everybody is wearing a mask.
Yeah. Well,
it's just, you can't get used to it. I cannot get used to this whole thing. Every time I go anywhere and I see everybody with the mask, I just can't. Well, I'm glad I can't get used to it, but
yeah,
still.
It is disturbing. It's disturbing to me every time I see it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's just, I met a friend for lunch, and of course they always have a big sign on the door, masks required to enter. They all have that on the door.
Oh, really?
What?
I said, really? That's interesting.
So, oh, yeah. They all have it on the door. And, of course, everybody's already putting their mask on in the parking lot, getting ready to walk in. And my friend started taking her mask off. I said, I'm not wearing a mask. So then she put hers away, and we walked in. Nobody said, we were the only ones without a mask. Nobody said anything to us.
Marcus wants to know, Marcus is in the chat, he wants to know, have you ever tried five-star pizza? I don't know where that is.
I don't eat pizza.
Okay, well, then you probably haven't tried it.
Well, I mean, I haven't had pizza in many years. I stay away from gluten and cheese unless it's raw. So no, Marcus, I haven't.
Okay, that's good. So I want to hear a little more about Israel, because we're told that this is the worst place. This is the New World Order country. This is where everything is going to be centered around. Maybe the Pope is going to reclaim the seat in Jerusalem, whatever. That's what we've always heard. And we're hearing that it's the strictest or the most vaccinated. So do you have any evidence or proof from your children about that?
Well, the evidence I have is the lives that they're living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as individuals, we're in touch with them on pretty much a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, there's a huge difference between, for example, Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, two different worlds.
Okay, how so?
Well, Tel Aviv is all the hipsters.
Okay.
It's the cool kid, you know, the cool people in their 20s and 30s who are mostly in high-tech jobs and making really good money and paying very high rents and just partying.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Partying like it's 1999? So they're allowed to be in close contact, or there's no social distancing, or the other nonsense that we're supposed to...
Well, in Tel Aviv, I'll tell you, a few of my daughter's friends I have on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I follow them on Instagram just to follow them, see what they're doing. And
right.
Practically every single day and night, they have clips of them partying.
Hmm.
In discos, they're all smushed together. There's no social distancing. No one's wearing a mask. They're dancing. They're drinking.
They're living life?
This is what's going on in Tel Aviv. Sorry?
They're living life? That's not fair. We're supposed to suffer.
Going to the beach, you know, every day, sitting on the beach and having their coffee and coffee houses on the beach. Now, Jerusalem is different.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jerusalem, you have all different very religious people.
Sure.
Of different religions.
Mm-hmm.
See.
It's a divided
city
still.
They're all there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very, very different atmosphere in Jerusalem. And my son loves Jerusalem. My daughter loves Tel Aviv, even though they're not actually in Tel Aviv now, but she's a Tel Aviv type. Yeah.
So one's a quiet one and one's a partier. Is that right?
Well, they're not. No, she's not a partier anymore because
Children.
Now she's married with a baby. So, so I don't know what to tell you. It's just like anything else. We lived in Israel for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We never so much as saw a stone being thrown at somebody.
Is that right? Did you ever make side trips to, say, Gaza or the West Bank at all?
We used to live in the West Bank.
Okay. Well, where
our settlement...
go ahead.
Our settlement was surrounded by Arab villages, mm-hmm. where we used to live.
Okay.
And we never had a problem with any of them.
Did you ever see the movie Pallywood?
No.
Well, Pallywood was... Let me just... Can you see a screen right now?
No, I'm on my phone.
Okay. Pallywood was a documentary that basically showed that all the extreme violence and between the Palestinians and the Israeli army was all staged. And if you go to FakoTube, are you familiar with FakoTube?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure how much of a fakeologist you are, so you know FakoTube. That's really good. And I'm trying to bring
this... I'm checking to see how much of a fakeologist you are.
Okay. But I invented the word. I'm 100% fakeologist. Why?
Right, but you know what I'm saying, as far as where you're at with everything, because I've been at it longer than you. I've been around longer than you. How old... Can I ask how old you are? Because you asked how old I am.
Yeah. Yes, I've said it many times. I'm 5'4", 54. It's impossible.
Oh, okay. You're a mere child. You're a mere child.
I'm a baby.
Yeah.
I'm just playing a little bit of Pallywood.
President Clinton will not take with him when he leaves office in January is peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. He tried, but it just didn't work out. In fact, what's happening over there right now is looking more and more like a war, the latest Arab-Israeli war. The fiercest battles in the Middle East were waged right here at the crossroad, at that army post which is there to protect the settlement, which is the focal point of Palestinian rage.
Now, do you have any idea what he's talking about? The crossroad?
Yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Is that a location?
But I will tell... What? Go ahead.
Is that a location? Is it a city or is it just a crossroad, literally?
Well, there are different crossroads.
Right.
There's different checkpoints. There's not just one.
Okay.
You know.
Right, checkpoints. Gotcha.
You know, and no, it's not all staged. I mean, there might be some staged.
Okay.
Some of them that are, but no, it's not all staged. I mean, my children were both in the Army because, you know, there everybody has to go in the Army
right.
after high school.
Okay. Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, yes and no. I would prefer if the whole situation was different, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it gives them some, there's some benefit, there's pros and cons to it. That's all I could say. There's pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
My son had a wonderful experience in the Army. He flourished in the Army. He became an officer.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he still has to go into the reserve until he's 40, all of them, the boys, the men.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter hated every minute of it. All she did was complain. You know, she did not have a good experience. And that's how it is with the kids there. Some of them really thrive in the Army and flourish, and others just can't handle it. So
sure. Did your son rack up any kills?
No.
Well, that's
no.
good.
No.
I'm trying to
not.
Look up.
Although
the...
he was.
Yeah, he was what?
He was infantry. He's an officer in infantry.
I'm trying to find the West Bank on Google Maps. I'm having a problem. Where is it exactly again? It's on the West Bank of something. A river.
Of the Jordan.
Okay.
The Jordan River. But, I mean, the West Bank, we don't call it the West Bank. We call it Samaria, which is, you know, the West Bank is kind of a propaganda term in itself. But
mm-hmm.
we did live there for a number of years in the West Bank, in Samaria.
Samaria. Okay, is that the name of a city? No.
No, it's the area. It's what CNN calls the West Bank is what we call Samaria. It's the whole area.
Okay.
And then there's settlements within Samaria, which are like little towns or little, not really cities, but little towns.
Right.
And they're all surrounded by Arab villages.
Mm-hmm.
And where we were, everybody just kind of kept to themselves. So, you know, lived peacefully.
Right.
It's such a shame, really, because, you know, the Arabs and the Jews, when you get the two of them together, just kind of one-on-one, they're just regular people on both sides.
Yeah,
people
are people. People are people until they're told they're different, and then they act different if that's how they're told to act. I agree with you. We all bleed the same blood. It's all red.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, yeah.
It's really, really a shame how people are brainwashed on both sides.
It's a shame how people are brainwashed 24/7 on just about every topic in their lives. They don't know any reality.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's why I figured out a long time ago that everything is the opposite of what we've been taught. Almost everything, literally, is the opposite of what we've been taught. So
your report...
It's so easy that way. It's so easy that way.
Yeah, you just...
For example...
You just invert, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe 90-something percent of the time, you will be correct.
Wow,
it's so simple.
It's 4:20 in the morning in Tel Aviv, and it's 25 Celsius. That's warm for 4 in the morning, which is usually the coldest time of any day. So that's a warm place, even.
Yeah. It's still summer, kind of summer heat there, and they're 7 hours ahead. So.
Yeah. So
anyway, we're going next week.
Now, are you going to have to do any of the quarantining when you get there? Have you looked into that?
Oh, yeah. We were there last summer in July, and we had to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but did you have
this
to?
Time,
were they after you?
Oh, yeah. No, you have to. You had to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they check on you.
Right.
And this time, we will have to quarantine only for a week.
Right. Why is
that?
Why is that? Why is it less now?
I don't know. You know, they're always changing.
Right.
They're just constantly changing all of these.
Are they using the passport system there? Or?
Yes.
Right. But what about for you?
Well... Okay, there's two options. Number one, I just don't go to those places.
Right.
I don't plan on going to any big concerts or even to museums or anything like that. I'm there to see my family.
I'm
not there to.
Right.
Yeah. So I think I can very easily get along without a passport at all, without this green pass. The other option is if I get another test for antibodies, which I have, antibodies of whatever it is I have, okay, I have the antibodies.
Right.
Then I get some other kind of pass
that says
it's equal. But we kind of figured this is kind of a window of opportunity to go because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of opportunity to fly over there if you're not vaccinated. Right now it's possible.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I gotcha. No, it's smart. Do it while you can.
Yeah.
Are you going to avoid it? How are you going to avoid at all costs getting injected? In the future?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you kidding?
Do you know people your age that are got any kind of injury from the injection? I think we should call it injury instead of side effect, by the way. We should call it like it is.
Yeah, right. I don't really, I mean, my friends are not getting the shot, okay?
Why is that? Do they talk to you?
Pretty much.
Well, good for you. You have a large sphere of influence.
This is my circle of friends. However, like I said, a lot of the baby boomers, who I can see them on Facebook, and they're all vaccinated. Mm-hmm. They all got the shot. I mean, people that I never would think, they put up pictures of them on Facebook getting the shot, and, oh, I got my second Pfizer today, got my third Pfizer. You know, it's just, it's out of control. I mean, I just can't grasp what is wrong with these people. But I don't know anyone personally who got the shot that has been injured.
Okay.
I've heard stories from people that I know. Okay. But no one that I know personally. So.
Yeah. I just zoomed out on the map of Israel, and now the West Bank shows. So it's a huge area that I guess is the West Bank of, it's hard to see what kind of waterway that is, but you say there's a river.
It's the Jordan River.
Does the Jordan River drain into the Dead Sea?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense then. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never been to Israel. I've never been anywhere, actually, out of North America.
Really?
Yeah, I was saving my travel days till maybe my late 50s, but like I said, guess that's not happening.
And a lot of other people, Ab.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it's...
People were planning to travel all around the world when they retired, saving up their money and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the blogs I read is Vox Day. Have you ever heard of him? Vox Day? V-O-X Day?
Yes.
He has a real hate on for boomers. Now, you're a boomer.
Right.
What do you think of his view? What do you think of your fellow boomer?
Well, like I said, the ones that I am acquainted with, which would be basically those that I went to high school and college with, or those who my husband went to high school and college with. And they're pretty much... normies,
mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much. I mean,
yeah, but do you like the boomers? Do you hold the boomers responsible for the mess we're in now? Because we've had this sort of long period of indulgent, easy life, no real sacrifice. And now the boomers are really at the end of their lifespan. And now look at the morass we've been left with.
Right. No, I don't. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe the boomers are responsible for the mess that we're in.
Okay.
You know, not at all. I mean, in a way, you could look at it like that, but that was just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw it any differently. So, no, I don't really agree with that.
Let me look through the chat here. Dirty Benny says, great caller. That's you.
Thank you, Benny.
You're a great caller. Dirty Benny. Bad Saturday says, damn, questioning Ab's fakeology. I think he's talking about you. And Peter Rue is saying, interesting to hear. Is it easy to party in Tel Aviv without a Quaxport? Are they using the Quaxport to party, do you think, to get in the clubs?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but they're all in there partying. So, and I know most of them have gotten the inoculation. So I don't think it would be a problem. Although my daughter, whenever she goes to Tel Aviv to you know, she'll sit in a coffee shop or go to a restaurant. She says they don't even check.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard that people are there. I don't think there's any database anywhere in the world, any live database that actually takes a QR code and checks a database to see if it's updated. And I've heard stories.
Yeah.
And now we're just starting it on Terrible. We had a couple of, I was going to play a couple of videos tonight if I didn't get a guest, that have gone in to our, we have a huge coffee chain here called Tim Hortons, and they've even expanded into the U.S. Maybe they're even in Florida, for all I know. And the people are going in to get their coffee. They're told to show their papers, and these people are not showing any papers. So the coffee shop here today, and I guess yesterday, were instructed, they all go to the back room and shut the restaurant down. That's the reaction today. It's just insane. And I hope people,
wow.
I hope it wakes up the people of Unterrible, because Unterrible is like, Unterrible is just super compliant people. And they're way more likely to turn on the minority than anyone else, which is, it's just so ironic, because of course we're supposed to be one of the most tolerant, self-deprecating people in Unterrible, because we welcome everyone from everywhere in the whole world, and a lot of people could call it like a self-imposed white genocide, or I wouldn't even call it white, I'd just call it Protestant, because I still think that Protestants really were responsible for building up North America, maybe more than any other group or religion.
I agree.
I'm sure people could question that, but we've just Protestanted ourselves out of existence now. So really, it's no one to blame but our own lack of values, really, and lack of foresight into the future by allowing all kinds of things that are anti-human and basically building up a population. It's the total opposite.
Well, don't you think that was all by design? Whether it's over there or here in America, where America went in and destroyed all these countries, and then everybody wanted to flee and come over here, and now the borders are totally open here, and they're all flooding in from every which place. So, I mean,
well, I think all of society is definitely by design. Oh, I agree. I think everything is by design for sure. I think everything is planned. Whether everything goes well to plan is another story. But in general, I say for sure that everything.
No, but most people don't think that. Most people think that what happened in Afghanistan was just because of the senile old man, supposedly, who's the president. I mean,
yes. Yeah, exactly. How anyone could. Yeah, it's almost ridiculous from our point of view to how could anyone think that the president has any control over anything other than what he's going to have for dinner? He doesn't even have control over that. So for sure, he doesn't have any.
Right.
To blame a senile old man on what's happening in Afghanistan is ludicrous. But the media feeds you that idea that, oh, it was all his decision, he screwed up. But of course, even if he was completely competent, even if he was an ex-general, well, I'm pretty sure he would have nothing to do with the orders of the day and of the last year as a politician.
Yeah.
That's all being run by
people in
the military and those that control the military and use the United States, their goodwill and the fact that it's become, or it has been for the longest time, a military country. That's their industry. That's the main industry. It would be like if they made bicycles and we needed bicycles, then the U.S. would be in there with their bicycles. But it just so happens they're in.
Right.
The military-industrial complex, that's the business. So, of course, they're going to use them to do that, just like we use China to make the widgets, because no American is going to make a widget for that price. No way. They're just going to say, the hell, Right. Screw you. I'm not making a washing machine that costs $500. Then you'd have to pay me $3 an hour, and I need $45 an hour. So that's, you know, it's all the natural progression, and this is how we got to where we are. Everything progresses to a certain point for a reason, but it's, of course, guided. But, yeah, it's the world is a business, just like that network movie. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wars are not fought to be won.
No.
Like you say, they're fought to just propagate this whole military-industrial complex.
How many times did they blow up a building in Afghanistan and then rebuild it? I've heard they might have rebuilt certain installations 20 times.
No, but it's the same thing in Gaza.
Right,
they
yes.
They keep going into Gaza and bombing, and then, you know, I'm convinced it's eventually going to turn into one big smart city, Gaza.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So when you mean when they're finished bombing it for the 50th time, then they're just going to rebuild it. Well, for sure, now we can see they're going to do it. They have the technology now, so these Palestinians are going to be running around completely tracked and traced like everybody else. Why would they be any different?
Right. But it all boils down to basically square one, which is that people believe whatever they see on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Whether it's the TV or whether it's their phone and they're looking at the CNN news or whatever they're looking at, whatever they're spinning it to sound like, this is what people believe. And I know, to us, it seems so absurd that people, I mean, my husband and I, we talked to some of these people, like my cousin.
Where's your cousin?
My cousin who,
yeah.
My cousin lives, I grew up next door to him, right? In Chicago.
Okay.
I grew up in Chicago. And he's a real hermit. I mean, he was all set for the sheltering in type of lifestyle because he's a hermit and he's kind of a Buddhist and he meditates all day. And, you know, he's just one of these types, you know, one of these kind of Buddhist spiritual types, lives alone, almost never goes out. And I talked to him twice a year on our birthdays. And so I called him last month in August was his birthday. And he just happened to say, oh, I just got back from getting my second Pfizer shot.
Wow.
And I was stunned. He is the last person I would think would get these shots. First of all, he doesn't go anywhere. He goes to buy his food maybe once a week and wears a mask. It's just so bizarre. I was stunned. So what can I say?
Well, you haven't had much influence over him if you only talk to him twice a year, so maybe that's why.
Well, no, I don't, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
As
a hermit, he must be loving this because he's now everyone's a hermit or supposed to be.
Yeah, but he doesn't care because he's just living his normal lifestyle. He doesn't care what other people are doing. This is just what is so bizarre that he would get these shots. I don't know. It's just beyond me. I don't know anything anymore. No.
Yeah,
and I trust no one.
Mm-hmm.
That's my other motto. Trust no one.
Well, I don't see if he doesn't talk to anyone, but he is plugged into the Matrix, then it's absolutely no surprise that he would do such a thing. His friend is the media, basically.
Right.
They get
right.
The only chance he would have of not doing this is to be a truther, really. And that's that leads me to another short form. By the way, I was looking up the leader of the PLO, Mahmoud Abbas, to see if he's talking about Build Back Better. He hasn't said anything on it. So maybe.
Well, they're getting all their shots from Israel.
Sure.
You know. Israel is very happy to export the Pfizer's over to the Palestinians. And, you know, there are a lot of Israeli Arabs that live within Israel mm-hmm. and get along just fine with the Israelis and have much better lives than the ones that are living over there in Gaza and other places. So it is possible to get along.
Oh, I agree. I see Winston Smith joined in my studio, but I don't think he has a mic, so I don't think he can talk. So, yeah, Winston, if you can't talk, I don't really see the point in joining the studio. Or maybe I can hear you. Is that you, Winston? No, maybe not. Yeah, Winston, don't bother joining the studio because then it makes me think you want to talk. So if you want to listen to the live stream, it's fakeologist.com/live. That's where we have all our links. Otherwise, if you come in and I think, oh, he wants to share something or talk about something, just so you know. I do have, anytime I give out the studio link, it's usually permanent unless I change it. So I do have a few people that have access to my studio. They can come into the green room and share their screen or talk. So that's just a FYI for Winston or whoever else has that link. And of course, if people come in without being invited all the time, then I'll just change the link. But overall, it's not a problem. All right, well, we've been going about an hour. Do you have anything else you want to tell us about? I'd really be interested in getting a report from Israel when you're there or when you're back, because the time zone. Yeah,
I'd be happy to give you. I could give you a report now because I talk to my children, almost every day. But yeah, I mean, I will be the on the ground reporter.
So
and let you know what's
because
going
it sounds
on there,
like but... it's awful over there. I just watched another sort of fear porn video today where they're just saying how this Israel is just being dragged down into the mud and everyone's being basically shot 3, 4, 5 times and they're all getting sick from the, no doubt, the vaccine. But you're saying that they're partying in discos in Tel Aviv. So that's
absolutely.
That's the opposite of what we're being told, which of course.
No. I mean, I'm sure there are people getting sick.
Okay.
In high, you know, I mean, come on. Tel Aviv is a very small city. It's dense. It's densely populated. There's a lot going on there.
Okay.
But I'm sure there are people getting sick. My friend just told me that her granddaughter supposedly has COVID.
Right. Okay.
9-year-old girl. I mean, it's, you know, they're going for the children, which I'm sure you realize.
Yes. Well, they're destroying the children, including my own.
But I mean, with the shots and everything, mm-hmm. you know. But here's what I ask. Most people, over 90, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is. Most people give their babies and their growing children all the vaccinations that the doctors are recommending.
I know.
So you tell me. Why wouldn't they give them the shot too?
I agree. You know, the only difference is, and I've thought about that today. Well, we are told our children, our babies are grabbed right out of the womb, basically. And they're sort of whisked away and usually, or they have been in the past. And given all kinds of treatments in the eyes and all the immediate treatments. And then they might even be given, I think they might even be given a hep shot in the foot or something right away. But we can't ask a baby how it went or, of course, it takes quite a bit of time to get any feedback from a baby as to if there are any injuries from these vaccines that we give them. So they're really the absolute most vulnerable group you could ever shoot something into. And it is completely insane when we think about it. But now they're trying to shoot up people that can obviously report back quite quickly, immediately, and even video it in 4K on their phone and put it on the internet. So now we have a very different group of people that can give feedback. But yeah, babies have, there's no way to get any feedback from a baby unless all of a sudden it goes from a normal bouncing baby to a complete zombie, which if you watch some of those vax movies, does happen. Right. And then as a parent, you must just be completely mortified that what have you done? You know,
well, that's why we as the adults are supposed to be protecting our babies. And we are the ones who are supposed to be informing ourselves of what we're actually doing.
I know.
You know, and, you know, I guess we were just fortunate to have realized this soon enough and early enough that, you know, we just were able to do what we did.
But how did you figure out not to vaccinate them? What did you read back 30 years ago? Because there wasn't much of an internet.
I don't remember. The only thing I remember is that we had one friend. My husband had one friend who, he was a chiropractor, but he was into a lot of these health topics, and he was very much against the vaccine. So I think that's where we probably got wind of the whole scam, you know, with the vaccine, and then just, you know, had to make our own decision. And I remember this guy, Herb. This guy, this friend of ours, Herb, he said, if somebody put a gun to my head and told me, I'm going to shoot you if you don't let me vaccinate your child, I would have let them shoot me in the head. He was so against it. And by the way, there was another book that we read years ago, that now that I'm thinking about it, this Dr. Mendelsohn. I don't know if you ever heard him. Of him.
No.
He was one of the original kind of frontline doctor types. He wrote a book called How to Raise a Healthy Child Despite Your Doctor, something like that.
Let me look that up.
Mm-hmm. And he, Mendelsohn, Robert Mendelsohn. And he died an early death too, by the way. I mean, relatively early.
How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. Very good.
Yeah. And that was probably the first book that we read that made it was just common sense, exposing the whole thing. So,
hi guys, Andrea Mills here. Today I wanted to make a recommendation to you guys for this book called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. I just bought this book for a friend of mine who's having a baby shower this weekend. It's her first baby, and it was a really valuable book to me, and I wanted to share with her, and then I thought, you know what, I should recommend it to all you guys too. When I first became a mom, I took my son Thomas, who's 14 now, to the doctor whenever he got sick, and that's just what I thought you did. That's what you do. You go to the doctor when you're sick. So after a couple of times of taking him because I thought he had something like an ear infection, they started talking about putting tubes in his ears, and I'm like, whoa, you know, I don't think he's that bad yet.
Yeah, so there you go. There's a lady we're doing a review on the book. So yeah, good link.
That was really. I mean, it would be a valuable book even today. You know, it's
absolutely.
Yeah. Of course, well, there's so many more.
Yeah, my wife and I got sucked into the medical system. It's like a vacuum, and we just couldn't get out. We didn't even think to get out, actually. And I wish it was a nightmare. And it definitely caused all kinds of trouble for what we went through. That's my number one recommendation. Stay away from doctors and hospitals. Especially if you're having a child. I actually tried to get a midwife at the beginning, but for some reason, they were booked 10 months out. Go figure that out. 10 months out? Hello? So obviously people just...
Well, it's never too late. It's never too late to make your exit. So be glad that you realize now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Exactly. Now we're just, yeah, I'm glad that when I looked into truth, the health part of truth just comes immediately. You just run right into it. So you might look into 9/11. Next thing you're looking into vaccines. They just followed pretty seamlessly for me, and I wasn't looking for it either.
Right.
This guy,
even the ear infection thing for babies is such a scam because there's no proof that an ear infection for a child will go away any quicker with antibiotics than it will without. And the ear infection itself is usually just caused by milk products and sugar.
Yeah.
Get rid of those and voila, you know, you have a healthy child.
Yeah, it's so true. They'd rather treat it and let you continue causing the problem, and they'll just treat it. So it'll just be an endless cycle. You're poisoning your child
course, but that's why we as parents have to, you know, get it at the source and stop giving them this garbage.
But we're not equipped
to begin with.
Yeah, but the thing is, no one ever questioned it. That's why so many people are falling for this hoax, like every other hoax, because it's not in their mind to question anything official. It's not. Yeah. It's actually removed from your mind, and they call that school. So that's stripped from your mind, and you all think in unison.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
I agree. It all boils down to one question. What is your source of authority? Or who is your source of authority? And your source of authority will be whoever you believe without questioning.
And actually, let me play a little bit of this audio I listened to with my favorite pastor, Matt Truello. I don't know if you've listened.
I listened to a few of the pastors you had on there.
Yeah, but and this speaks to exactly what you said. Who is your source of authority? Let me play a bit of this. And this is what they're talking about. Let's see if they get to it right away.
Hopefully, Lord willing, ladies and gentlemen, is a very practical one. It's threats, mandates, and coercion. The biblical response. And hopefully, if you're listening, you're going to find as we further go into this program, answers, practical answers from the pages of Scripture and from experience with the men on the program here today to help address the questions that are facing literally every one of us. Every one of you listening to me, I haven't met one person who are asking the same questions. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's a person in the pulpit or a person in office or a person like you maybe sitting at home. It's because a lot of what we're facing, we've not faced before. But frankly, the world has faced it. And so God's word holds the answers. But let me go here. Now, Romans 13 and other passages in Scripture, but this one in particular, the Bible speaks to the issue of authority. It's authorship, it's structure, it's purpose, and it's relationship to God and others. In reading from the Pure Word translation, it's more of a literal interpretation and translation of the Koine Greek and all. Romans 13:1 says this, and authorities are now assigned by God. In the beginning of this verse, it says, every soul must be yourselves subjecting to superior authority, because there is definitely no authority except from God. Well, now understanding biblical authority has at its core the understanding that authority is authored by God. The framework of authority is assigned, meaning ranked, literally in the Greek, by God. Therefore, there are always superior and lesser authorities. And every person's duty is to determine their ranking within the larger authority structure established by God and submit to the superior authority. Now, not necessarily a superior authorities, but ultimately the superior authority. And who is the superior authority? Well, it's the author and designer, God himself. And this principle is profound.
That sort of speaks to what you're saying, because, of course, God is sort of missing from most people's lives, so their new authority is the state. And they
and
I think that at the top of most of our laws is still God. God is still in most laws that are written. And they know people don't follow God, and they villainize and pillory the, and they call them evangelicals, anyone that is serious about going to church and might even stay after church to discuss what they've been preached. And I think that is definitely a huge gaping hole that the state is driving a truck through right now and running over people. I really do.
Well, I agree. And we happen to be believers in the Bible. We do believe that the Bible is the word of God. And so for us, it's a no-brainer, you know, as far as who will be our ultimate authority.
Yes.
In many, many, regarding many topics, but definitely this one. In fact, you know, interesting because I think it was just today or yesterday, we have these two young men who are actually the sons of the pastor of this little Baptist church where we go, and they're both firefighters. And here in the county, they passed this mandate that you had to be vaccinated in order to be a firefighter. I think by, I don't know, it might have been even August, October 1st or something. Anyway, a group of them decided they were not going to comply and got together, and there was a lawsuit against the county, and they won. Just yesterday, the judge ruled in their favor, and so that it was against their constitutional rights and all of that. And so now they don't have to get vaccinated. I mean, these guys were firefighters for 15 years.
So maybe that'll become a precedent. That would be cool if that doesn't get overturned.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But it's still a shot in the arm. It's a shot of encouragement.
Yeah,
just to see that happening, because we know the whole legal system is all bought off too. I mean, obviously.
Sure. Winston Smith says Israel likely got mostly the saline placebo. Hospitalized vax type is just part of the psyop to cover for the mass genocide underway worldwide. He said some have claimed that it's as high as 80% placebo and 20% real. So that's Winston Smith who put that in. Yeah, I was going to ask you, as I guess you identify or you are a Jew, what's your take on Israel as a country? If you were in, say, Germany back during the 30s, would you have left and gone to Israel, or would you have thought that was a really bad idea as a Jew? And do you think today that all the Jews that are obviously concentrated in the world's only sort of one religious by design state, do you think that they're more vulnerable as a state being all in one place? Or do you think that they're more powerful being there?
Oh, well, that's a complicated question.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, there are plenty of Jewish people here in this country that are in very, very powerful positions, whether it's the head of the Federal Reserve or this Blinken guy. I mean, it's all full of Jews, you know? I mean, can't they find any Gentiles to run these big operations?
Well, that goes way back. That goes way back in the power structure. Yeah, this is historical, so people...
But
yeah.
Look, the question you're asking, it's really a biblical question, you know, which is very complicated as far as where Israel, that's a whole nother show, you know,
okay.
Which Marcus probably won't want to listen to because he's so anti, you know, and anything religious. But we also, by the way, I don't know if I made this clear. We are Jewish people who believe in Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
So
you
we
know,
believe
you,
in the
no, oh, yeah. You know, you never made it clear. Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
So we believe in the entire Bible, the Old, the Hebrew Scriptures, and the New Testament, and we do believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah of the Jewish people and the world.
Okay. Yeah. What is there a word for Jews? You're basically Jews for Jesus, J for J. Is that right?
Well, we are Jews for Jesus, but we don't belong to that organization. Everybody says that, yeah. It's funny.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're Jews for Jesus.
So that's not an official church or organization?
No, it is, but we're not part of it.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's an actual congregation or many congregations? Yeah. Oh, yeah. IFCJ.
It's kind of a missionary organization where they reach out to the Jewish people, you know, with the gospel. And, you know, you have to go to them because mostly Jewish people are not going to be sitting up in church, you know, listening to a sermon. And if they're watching Christian TV, they're just getting probably a bunch of garbage. You know, they're not really getting a real biblical teaching. And I know you're not a religious person.
No.
You've mentioned a few times. So,
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, it's not a question of good or bad, but mm-hmm. I mean, I believe that, you know, our lives are based on a spiritual foundation because, you know, we believe in where we came from and where we're going. So, as far as how to get there, it's not always very clear. But it's, like I said, it's a whole topic in itself if you ever want to talk about that part of it. And my husband is really the one that, you know, he knows all the answers.
Oh, is that right? He's really
any question you have, you know, he'll have the answer. You may not believe it, but, you know.
Is he the original truther in your family, or you both came along at the same time?
No, we became believers separately, in a totally separate way and separate locations. And then we got together when we met in a congregation in Florida, actually in the Fort Lauderdale area. We met there after we were both already believers and then got married. And then we made Aliyah. We moved to Israel because we felt like as Jewish people, this is where we belong. Because the only reason biblically why Jewish people live outside of Israel is because of sin, because God expelled them from the land because they were in sin. Anyway, these are the biblical reasons, you know.
Okay, you got
it. So we went back there with our two little babies and lived there for years. And then because of different circumstances, mostly my husband's parents were very old and they had no one to care for them. So we ended up coming back here. And anyway, long story, long involved story, but it's kind of cutting it short.
Well, you perked Marcus's interest because he just joined the chat. Marcus, say hello to Eva.
Hey, Eva.
Hey, Marcus. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I was going to call you Mom because you sound just like my Jewish mom.
Ah, okay.
But do you have another mom?
Where is she from? From what, where in the States? What kind of accent does she have?
Well, she lives in the villages near you in Gainesville. It's sort of near you. It's about an hour away from you, I'm supposing.
Oh, yeah, Tampa. Of course. But wait a second. Where did she come from?
You know, I think Chicago. Either my I haven't spoken to my parents in the longest time. Somewhere, either my dad was from Chicago or my mom was from Chicago.
Okay, because I my accent is Chicago accent, and my husband's is Brooklyn.
And I think it was my dad who's from Brooklyn. I think it's Brooklyn-Chicago connection.
Wow. Okay. Hold on. Is Eva your mother? Because this sounds too close.
This is called Jewish geography. Jews love doing the whole geography thing.
Oh, okay.
Right. So both your parents are Jewish, Marcus?
Yeah, they are. But I'm nothing. I had a bar mitzvah, and then after that, I am nothing.
Yeah, you had the circumcision and the bar mitzvah, and that was enough.
Yeah, them chopping off the skin off my penis was traumatic enough. And then, well, I can't complain about the bar mitzvah. Bought my first car. So that was a good day for that. But that's all I remember about the bar mitzvah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Let me preface by saying I no longer speak to my parents. It's been 8, 9, 10 years. Because my aunt, who also has a son in Israel, she sent a Remember the Holocaust email to my dad. Actually, she sent it to the whole family. My dad forwarded that to me. And then I sent my dad back something. All it said was, Dad, I'd like to know what you think about this video. And it was a video by Richard Cole. Oh, no, not Richard Cole. Tim, do you remember the his first name?
David Cole.
David Cole, thank you. Mm-hmm. About how the Holocaust at Auschwitz was completely faked. And by the way, David Cole's Jewish. So when you hear that, what do you think about that?
What do I think about it?
Yeah.
Well, considering my mother was a survivor of Auschwitz, mm-hmm. and most of my family perished in that concentration camp. And the reason they got out alive, the ones who did, is because they were Hungarian Jews. Okay, I was born in Czechoslovakia, but everyone in the family was Hungarian. And the Hungarian Jews were the last group of Jews that were brought to the camps. That's how it worked out. So the only reason she got out of there alive is because the war ended and they were supposedly so-called liberated by the Russians. So the fact that if someone wants to say it was a hoax, I don't care. They can say it was a hoax all they want. But, you know, I mean, I grew up with a
the only thing that I got out of the David Cole video was that the work camps were not death mills. They were not set up just to systematically gas and incinerate people. They were work camps. And
well, that may be true, but yeah. I'm referring to Auschwitz. And by the way, I was there.
Right.
For my 50th birthday, that was my big birthday present. I did make a trip there.
Right.
And that camp was relatively small, but the adjoining camp, which was Birkenau, mm-hmm. which was connected by a railroad track, that was the death mill. That was the death camp.
Okay.
So I'm confused. You're saying Auschwitz wasn't a death camp?
It was too small.
No, well, I mean, a lot of people died there because of the treatment, but no, it was a work camp. But the adjoining camp, which was very close by, Birkenau, that was the actual death mill. I mean, they did have a gas chamber there at Auschwitz,
mm-hmm.
and ovens, but it wasn't like a major, large scale like the Birkenau one.
Well, have you seen the David Eva? Have you seen the David Cole video?
No.
No.
But I've heard all those things and. You know, maybe the numbers are not true. Maybe the numbers are exaggerated. Maybe there were more. Maybe there were less. Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that 75% of my own family died in gas chambers, including children, you know. So whatever people want to say, I don't care. I'm not going to argue about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very touchy subject.
Super touchy.
Especially because we are Bible believers. And if, you know, a Jew will always end up with the question, well, if there's a God, why did he allow the Holocaust? And
why is he allowing COVID?
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
so Marcus, how is that resulting in the fact that you don't talk to your parents for 10 years?
Oh, because they see, this is the problem that I have with Jews in my family, is that if my dad is a skeptic, you know, he agrees with, now I understand he agrees with everything I say. I just found that out from my,
what?
From my,
is he,
yeah.
Is he behind the paywall?
I didn't let him behind. He has to pay for that and he hasn't paid. I just found out. So my, it's weird because my family meets up with my parents without me. They've been doing that for 8, 9, 10 years now. And my wife was telling me that my dad is sheepishly saying, you know, Mark was right about everything. You know, that's what I get nowadays.
Yeah, but wait a second. I still don't understand why you, Marcus, are not talking to your parents, because I'm not understanding why.
I was getting to that. So, so the last time I spoke to my mom, I raised my children very unique, in a unique way. They don't have a set bedtime. They don't eat vegetables. There's a bunch of things that I don't do that really bothers my mom. And I said to my mom the last time I spoke to her on the phone, I said, is there anything, can you name one good thing that you like about my children? And the phone went dead. She couldn't come up with one thing. I said, well, I don't think we should talk anymore. And that was the last time I spoke to my mom. Interestingly enough, I asked my mother-in-law before she died in a tragic car accident. I asked her the same question because she disagrees with my way of parenting. And she had the same exact reaction. She couldn't come up with one good thing about. Now, that's ridiculous. They, especially my mother-in-law, adored my children. But she didn't like the fact that, again, there was no structure and it wasn't, you know, all the things that she was taught. And she disagreed that I didn't want to vaccinate and all those sort of things. So that's the real reason that I don't speak to anyone on either side of my family. But getting back to what happened with the Holocaust, that triggered, oh my God, my dad was so pissed off at me because they sent a blind carbon copy of that Holocaust thing. So when I replied back with just, hey Dad, what do you think about this video? And it was the David Cole video. I knew what I was doing. It went to like 100 people in my family. So 100 people got to see this video. Well, my dad was just livid with me because he knew 100 people saw this video. Now, what's interesting is I'm hearing, I mean, I'm like cheering because I'm hearing all these, it's hard to find someone like you who knows as much as you do. However, the disappointing part is as soon as it comes to the Jewish thing, like Tim showed you or played to you, what do you think about the Palestinian Pollywood? And you didn't even see it and you said, I don't believe it. And that's just so reminiscent of the Jews in my life. Anytime I would show them something that had to do with Jewish propaganda, even though they agreed that the world isn't the way it is, they would immediately deny it. And that just that boggles my mind how you can deny something like that.
What did I deny? That the stories were made up? That they were filming? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, the Pollywood thing was just, yeah.
Wait a second. What I thought I said and what I believe is that it may be true that some of those things are filmed.
Yeah.
And, you know, beforehand. But I happen to know that a lot of it is not. Why? Because both of my children were in the Israeli army and my son is still in the reserves until he's 40 years old. So I'm not denying, believe me, Israel, you're not talking to a person who thinks that Israel has clean hands. Okay.
Okay. That's good to hear.
I am not one of those people. Okay.
Okay.
Because I happen to know there's a lot of evil, evil people there that are running the show and a lot of bad things that go on there. Okay. So,
for example, in this Pollywood video, it's first of all, it's put out by 60 Minutes, which is 60 Minutes actually did very good reporting back in the day. And they showed, for example, coffins with dead people in it. And next thing you know, the coffin tipped over. This is in this Pollywood video and the guy comes running out of it. I mean, that's okay. To me, you cannot debunk that. It's actual proof that there's fakery. going on with both sides, both Palestinian and Israeli. But again,
I'm
when
sure
you go, if you watch,
I'm sure there are no clean hands on either side.
Okay, so getting back to the Holocaust. By the way, the JDL would call me the worst kind of Jew because I'm a Jew who denies the Holocaust, and I don't even deny the Holocaust. What I'm saying is, the number of people who have died in the Holocaust has gone down in half and half and half and half, like you couldn't believe. And then when you look at the record of the number of Jews in the worldwide population, it never went down. It actually went up because I looked into it. So if there was all these Jews who were killed in the Holocaust, why don't the numbers reflect it in the births and the deaths when you look at the record?
Okay, well, all I know is the numbers that are reflected in my family.
Right.
That's what
right.
I know.
And that's fair.
And as far
as numbers,
let's face it, you're getting all these bogus COVID numbers every day too.
Yeah.
Cases, deaths, all this kind of stuff. So, you know what? I don't care. If somebody wants to deny the Holocaust totally, if they want to say there were fewer that were killed, there were more, I don't care. Because
I think my point is, and this isn't targeted to you. I'm just saying the people in my family, the ones who are so protective of anything that goes against what the Jews do, if you at least give the perception that you're like, oh, maybe there is something that isn't right about that, then people wouldn't be mad at the Jews. People are always mad at the Jews because they're always denying the fact that maybe the Holocaust didn't happen the way we were told. It's a marketing perception thing. That's all.
Okay, look, all I can say to you, Marcus, is all of what you're saying is not a reason for cutting off your parents, in my opinion.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. We still have that option here in the United States, although that's slowly going away. Actually, it's quickly going away.
Eva, is there any way that you could adopt Marcus so he has someone to talk to? Because you're a truther.
I have three people I talk to every night at dinner, so I'm good.
You're a fantastic truther, Eva, and I think
I agree.
That you and Marcus could get along. Just maybe you could give him some advice as a adopted son.
And by the way, Eva, you have to know that that's not the only reason I don't speak to my parents. There's a lot of stuff that led up to it. All I said was the last thing that I spoke to, both to my mother-in-law and to my mother, were those two questions, and they both couldn't give me an answer. There was a lot that led up to that.
Listen, I know when it comes to children, people are very touchy. But, you know, the thing is, as a parent and you're a parent, both of you guys are also parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hurtful and hard for a parent not to be in touch with their children. Our children, for example, who we have a very good relationship with, they have a different view of the Bible than we do. We raised them in a certain way to believe a certain thing about the Bible. They don't believe it anymore. We didn't cut them off. They didn't cut us off. You know, we agreed to disagree. And I would just encourage you to at least think about Marcus while your parents are still alive. If you would just think about some way that you could reconcile, for the sake of,
I always hear people say that, and I just totally disagree. I'm sure you're familiar with Jewish guilt, the concept of Jewish guilt.
Me, no, I never heard of it.
Okay.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
No, I'm being sarcastic. So
when you have Jewish guilt, which is very, manipulative. When that's being used on me as your son all the time, that there's no change. People aren't going to change unless they want to change, and there's no changing that. And that was a big, big factor in that.
All right. Well, good chat. We're actually past my bedtime now. But Eva, you obviously are a great guest, so I wanted to keep it going, and then We had Marcus come in with his questions, so we are running.
I was going to ask one more question, if you don't mind. It's quick.
Sure.
Eva, do you think Palestinians should get vaccinated?
If they want to, yes. If they want, I think everyone should get vaccinated if they want to. They should mm-hmm. have the option. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, they're just people like everybody else. I don't understand why you're asking that question.
Good. Oh, I'm just reading what someone wrote because I just find it's interesting how I think that was a perfect answer. I'll just leave it at that. Good answer.
That, Marcus is reading a question from someone who's a little bashing you a bit, and I'm not reading his comments, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, that was a good. Either way, it was a good answer.
I can good answer. It, believe me.
No, I'm sure, but I didn't want to derail the conversation into something different because we're having a good conversation. So I don't always read every single comment because it doesn't always align with the good cheer.
The thing I will reiterate about the Israelis and the Palestinians, which I think I already said once, mm-hmm. neither one has clean hands on either side. Neither one mm-hmm. of the, I'm talking about at the upper, you know.
I agree.
The people running the country. They're all evil and they're all crooks and they're, you know, believe me, they are. Just like everywhere else in the world.
And they're probably working together too, aren't they?
At the very top levels, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. I think the people always that get the short end of the stick are the people at the bottom. But the people at the top, even though they look like they're conflicting and clashing, they're really probably working together to perpetuate a dialectic.
It's like professional wrestling, right?
Yeah. You
know? Where they look like they're evil and they're really against each other. And then they put on the show and then they go out and have drinks together after the show. So
yeah,
same type of thing.
I agree. Hey, Eva, do you think Fred will come on the next call if we reconvene?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? He'll talk your ear off. he'll answer all your Bible questions. Marcus.
I really don't have very many Bible questions. I'm not.
I do. I have one. I just have one.
Okay.
Eva, do you know that there are over 1,000 direct Bible contradictions?
Which Bible?
Do I know? I wouldn't call. That's a whole. Yes, I do know. They're called variants. They're not contradictions. Can you maybe just name me one rather than talk about 1,000, and then I
sure.
Can address
I just posted it into the chat. I'll pull it up here. Let's see.
Marcus has been waiting all his life to talk to someone like you, Eva.
I have actually. That's true.
I think Eva, you're going to be on Marcus's next show, if you agree.
Well, here, ask Freddie, because he's been sitting here listening to the whole thing, and he's been remarkably quiet.
Does Freddie, is he approving of this call?
Hey, guys, how are you tonight?
We're great. Yeah, you got a very, very good wife.
Yeah, you're a very lucky man. Very lucky.
And I can tell you, as smart as she is and as sharp as she is, she looks... her age, like, amazing.
Wow. That's great news.
We need to see pictures, Tim, right?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, well, when Tim shows a picture of himself, then I'll show mine.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Jewish in Brooklyn, and the last thing on my mind was to believe the Bible. I was a hedonist. So I left New York, moved to South Florida, and I'm popping on the beach. Made a very simple, minimal life for myself. Became a school teacher. I taught like 6 hours a day. Brought home all the papers. Dumped them in the garbage. I feel bad now. Didn't grade papers. I taught when I was there. But I didn't grade papers. Came home. Beach. Party. And I'm became a marathon runner. So I was into fitness and the beach. And a very easy, simple lifestyle. Living in one, half like a studio apartment. Never had a checking account, even until I met my wife. And I was just confronted many times with the Bible. And when I had my problems with it, I was interested. But when I did my research and I you know, I can tell you this. There's only one miracle that God promises to give to people who believe in him, in Jesus, a change of nature. I was a hedonist. I loved sin. I loved independence, self-autonomy, living for myself. It's all about me. I was prideful, arrogant, and God and the Bible were like a joke to me almost. And when God met me, I didn't see him. I didn't hear his voice audibly. But when God began working in my life, I had a nature change. Like, I couldn't go back to my life. I wanted to. I tried to go back to living the way I was, and I couldn't do it. And I was drawn more and more to the Bible, to God, to Jesus, to find people who are like me, telling my friends about Jesus.
So now he's here to answer your question, Mark.
If I can, yeah, if I can. I'm not a Bible answer man, but I'm very convinced.
What's the question? Oh, what's the variant? I think he had a variant.
Well, they're in your kind of fiction.
There are 50,000 of them. I posted a link. It'll be in the show notes. I'm sure Tim will do that. Mm-hmm. But the first one, here's the first one, right from the same book, Genesis. God is satisfied with his works, Genesis 1:31. God is dissatisfied with his works, Genesis 6:6.
Can I get my Bible and look it up for a second?
Bring out the old Bible there.
Yeah.
Well, he has to see the context. You can't just take a verse out of, you know, pluck
see, that's
it out.
That's what all – see, yeah. I hear that all the time. That's what all the – everyone's like, oh, my wife got her hair cut last night. And the person who cuts her hair, she knows me, and she's like, you know, Mark's right about everything, blah, blah, blah. And – but the Bible predicted 9/11. The Bible predicted COVID.
Oh, no. No, that's all garbage.
Garbage. It's all up to interpretation.
Of course. Listen,
we don't believe that.
We also understand the church system is just another system. We're not that dumb. We don't accept the system itself is like all the other ones. It sucks out any desire for spirituality. It's another system that doesn't really work, like the justice system, the education system, the legal system. Same thing with that. So most churches, they're not really teaching the truth. And I would say more than half the people in churches are hypocrites, don't believe mm-hmm. the Bible, live mm-hmm. one way, Sunday's different. So, I mean, we see through all that. Mm-hmm. We're not that stupid. We realize that.
Well, so you have the book of Genesis. You have it open?
I sure do. Yeah. What verse?
Well, I don't know. What is 1:31? Is that chapter verse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 31.
Okay. Let's see. Verse 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was good.
And after this, we'll have to split.
Okay, sure. It just says here, God saw everything he had made. And behold, it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
So, and then the other verse is the opposite, which is Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 6.
Well, okay, this is saying here, first of all, Mark, is that everything God had made, everything he made the first day, the doing creation here, was good. That's what it's saying,
yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Now six.
Okay. Now chapter six.
Six. What verse, Marcus?
Six. Six. Six.
Okay. Six. Chapter two, verse six. Okay. Which says, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, every imagination, the thoughts of his heart. Okay. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Yes. Yeah, so basically, chapter one. God hadn't yet made man. So what God had made in chapter one, it was good. It was beautiful. He was satisfied with it. It was wonderful. Chapter six, talking about man and man's sinfulness. And that's what grieves him. So I think they're two different. I don't see them as a contradiction. I mean, you might. I don't see that anyway as a contradiction in any way. And when the Bible does say God, you know, it says here, when it says God repented, it means that, in a sense, since God is sovereign, he knows everything in advance. It's just that, in a sense, his heart, we'll say his heart too, you know, in a sense, he was broken over the fact that man had gone so wicked so quickly. And that's true today. I mean, all of us, our thoughts are wicked, and that's how we live. So,
Marcus, yeah. Well, you and Freddie can do another show.
Yeah, I mean, happy to.
Sure.
I mean, good to have questions. Listen, I mean, Eva and I, we both became believers separately, but we took our time. We studied. We reasoned. We didn't just. So it's good to have questions, and if I can
I remember. Okay, I'm going to just say one more thing. I know, Ab, you're ready to go to sleep.
So are we.
I remember hearing you a few times, and you said you had all these Bible questions, Marcus, that no one's ever been able to answer. Well, we might be able to answer, or at least Freddie will, answer your questions. You may not, you know, accept those answers, but, you know, there'll be an answer one way or the other.
We'll be happy anytime you want to do that.
Okay, sounds great.
It's been very patient. I never expected to get a call from you and be on the phone such a long time, but it was great talking to you.
Same here.
And
I really enjoyed I really enjoyed you being on. It's really cool to have someone, like I said, well, my parents are a little bit older than you, having someone in the older sphere know as much as you do, and it's unfortunate that the communism doesn't allow your wisdom and knowledge to be passed down to the younger generation. So this is it's a very good thing.
Okay. Well, you know, one-on-one, you know, I passed down whatever, you know, you asked about to you two guys, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I enjoy, hey, listen, if anyone leaves me a nice message like you do, or I shouldn't use the word nice, if anyone leaves me a pleasant message like you do, I always call back. So if anyone does leave a message on the phone system when it works, and it is sort of broken right now, as we've discussed, I always call back for sure. Even if I can call back from my studio where the sound is better, even better. So yeah, it was a real treat, and it looks like for the most part, we got some good reviews in the chat tonight, and. Mm-hmm. We got one. I'll have to say this chat. This is kind of funny. Winston Smith is the guy that was talking about the frozen ice and whatnot the other night, and he says he put a link to 1 hour of fingernails on a chalkboard, and he said it was either watch this or tune into 1 hour of fingernails on the chalkboard. So I think he's referring to the show. What exactly does that sound like? Do you think you can stomach listening to this, Eva? Let's see. I've never heard this video before. Let's play it real quick. Warning, 1 hour of nails on a chalkboard. Let's see. Doesn't sound like anything.
Well, no one
was. What's that?
no one was putting a gun to his head to listen, right?
Absolutely not. When I get comments like, you know, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. So if anyone puts up with something they don't like for an hour, I think they like it. Either that or they're really, really masochistic.
I agree, but I also think that, I mean, I gave you a genuine compliment in that message that I sent, and I'm 100% sure that the vast majority of your listeners, even though they may not say it and they may not leave you a comment, I'm sure they would agree with what I said. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening. Okay.
Absolutely.
No more complimenting you.
No. And hey, listen, it's the guests that make any show. I don't listen for the host. I listen mostly to most shows for the guests, especially if they have good guests. So you guys have been a great...
Yeah, but the guest has to be interviewed by somebody who knows how to ask questions and who knows how to shut up and listen. And I think you've got a good balance. You have a lot of wisdom in how you respond to the people that you have on, but you also know how to ask good questions and listen. So it's a good balance.
Well,
and
you've
got a nice voice, you know.
Well, thank you so much. I studied from the best. I've studied Larry King every night on CNN at 9, and I'm just trying to do the opposite of what he did, because he made me laugh so hard by being such a deaf host that I'm trying to do better than that. But he still had a great show, though. But thanks so much for the compliment. I appreciate that, Dirty Benny. And, yeah, I'm going to take it. And you can come back anytime, Eva and Fred. I'm not quite sure if I'll talk Bible talk. It's not really my area of expertise.
He has plenty to talk about. It doesn't have to be his Bible.
Yeah, well, we'll talk truth. That's what I like to talk about, truth, COVID, Israel. That's fascinating because I really want to know the truth of what's going on there because they are trying to scare us with what's happening over there. And I was feeling kind of bad for that country. But when you come back, or if you're there and you feel like calling in or leaving a message, tell us what's really happening there and if we should be scared out of our minds.
I will do that either from there or probably when we get back.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear it. And congratulations from staying away from the needle as long as you have. And I'm going to try here, although, man,
oh, yeah.
They're really closing in on everybody without closing.
I'm aware of that, believe me. But as long as I have a choice, this is my choice.
Good. All right. Well, it is September 23rd, 2021. It's 10:35 p.m. We just finished talking with Eva and Fred and Marcus. So thanks, everybody, for joining. And we'll see you guys next week or Sunday and Friday, maybe a chat with Benoit on Saturday. Definitely the Australians are definitely going to show up Saturday because they are being smashed right now, according to everything that we can sort of figure out from here. All right. Take care, guys.
Good night.
All right. Good night.